You're now listening to From the Jump, where we keep the convo going with the latest and greatest in hip-hop. With your hosts, Mr. White and Syllable. They tell it like it is.
From the Jump.
Welcome to From the Jump, your source for all things hip-hop. I'm Syllable, and this is
Mr. White.
And today, we're going to dive into the hip-hop world from the jump. Now, Mr. White, do you think Tiger should probably hold some counseling sessions to give other rappers advice on their marriage?
I don't know about that. Recently, it looks like he came into the news. He had an issue where a lady showed up at his home.
Cameron Swanson.
At about 3 a.m. allegedly.
3 a.m. in the morning.
And things didn't go well. You want to expound on that a little bit, Syllable?
Yeah, things did not go well. What happened at 3 a.m. in the morning is Cameron Swanson, you know, his lady at the time, showed up at Tiger's house. Now, I don't know about you, Mr. White, but in general, friends, let alone lady friends, showing up at your crib unannounced is problematic, to say the least. But then 3 a.m., factor that into the situation, and he's got domestic abuse charges against him. Now, she's got black eyes, and, you know, I'm not doubting that an altercation happened at all, but also I think that her actions probably could have done a little better than to, you know, plan out showing up at 3 a.m. on someone's house.
Yeah, sometimes I feel like these situations happen, and, you know, it's almost like an instigation type of thing. And it's like, of course, you know, you don't get the guy who started it. You get the guy who finished it, and men are always going to be in those situations. I don't condone violence against women.
No, never.
But, yeah, you probably shouldn't be showing up to nobody's house at 3 a.m. with any type of confrontation, because this might happen, right?
Yeah, definitely. Well, what I think is kind of interesting about the situation is that Tyga wants to go on social media and talk about how he was never arrested. He voluntarily showed up at the police department to surrender himself, and that there was no record of his arrest. But if you search for his name, his government name, which I think is like Michael Stevens, if you search for that on the Los Angeles Sheriff Department's website, it shows that he actually was arrested and posted a $50,000 bail. So, yeah.
Hey, he's trying to PR it out. But, you know, sometimes, you know, people can find the truth if they're looking for it.
Yeah, definitely. And next up for our headline section, we got the FBI now is denouncing Joe Rapp in the Chicago area, essentially attributing Joe Rapp to causing more violence. Now, hip-hop and violence and crime have definitely had a, you know, storied relationship over the years. And there's a lot of theories on, you know, how deliberate that is for what the labels are supporting with what they're choosing to produce and sign on. But yeah, in this case, drill itself has a particular darker tone when it comes to the subject matter for that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the events that spawned out all this was, you know, FBG Duck got shot. And what's interesting about that is the fact that the guy who actually rented or bought the car to do the drive-by in it, his name is Los, he actually returned it within an hour of doing the shooting, and that was part of how he got caught. Now, I'm trying to think tactics-wise, you got bullet shell casings, gunpowder stains, maybe even blood on the car, and you return it back within an hour of doing that shooting. Probably not the best idea.
Yeah, and it just shows that this is senseless violence, right? I mean, FBG, I think he's part of, you know, a rival gang, Gangsta Disciples potentially. And I think, you know, he's been beefing with the Black Disciples. You know, one of the more famous ones, rest in peace to King Von. And, you know, you also have Lil Durk. So these guys have, you know, they're serious about the stuff that they're talking about in songs. And it's been a lot of back and forth. And the fatality of FBG Duck was a part of that type of scene. And, you know, we hate to see this. We want to see less of this. And, you know, hopefully people can, you know, see that this doesn't make sense and try to move forward in a positive direction.
I would like to see that. It's all right if you want to rap about biographical things that have happened to you and what you've had to do to survive. And, you know, we've seen Tupac do that. But it's different when you're actually promoting violence through hip-hop or starting real-life beef through hip-hop and going back and forth. Now, part of what led up to FBG Duck's getting shot was the fact that he was actually talking some shit about the Black Disciples on social media, which did not end up well for him, which also goes to show that, you know, be careful what you say, where you say it, and who you say it to, especially if you're talking about gang activity and where that mixes with hip hop. So, you know, keep safe, keep looking out. And next up, we got for a headline section, we got mental health and hip hop. You know, Maxo Cream, Vic Mensa, who I've actually worked with, Tierra Thomas, they joined Springfield Co. For a mental health room on Clubhouse. And I thought that was pretty dope because it's underrepresented often is the importance of paying attention to your mental health in the hip hop world, especially if you came from the hood, you got scars, you got stuff you're healing from. But yeah, I mean, I love the fact that they're getting together to discuss mental health.
Yeah, and I mean, it's a big issue that goes unaddressed a lot of times. People are living their lives. I mean, Vic Mensa is talking about self-medicating, you know, whether that's with alcohol or marijuana or other drugs. That's a very common thing. Even opiates, people abuse that and that become a huge problem in America. You have Tierra talking about basically using biographical things like in the song of Wale, Bad. She's talking from experience, right? Yeah. She's not talking about something just for the sake of the song or to be topical. It's real life things. And then you have Maxo Cream. He's talking about growing up in Houston. And I mean, being from the Chicago area, inner city youth experiencing, you know, really harsh circumstances. I mean, in his music, he talks about, you know, growing up with roaches and things like that, where it's like that extreme poverty, you know, he was also rolling with the Crips. So, you know, that type of lifestyle, you know, having to be a part of that, basically, A, maybe make money, keep your safety. These things do weigh on you when you're seeing violence, when you're seeing drug abuse. And I think it's important that artists speak out. I'm seeing more and more people starting to put emphasis on mental health. And I think that's a good thing that they came and did this talk.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of delegitimization of Black mental health. And I think it's very important to realize that when you go through a lot of events, even if you blow it off in the moment because you're in survival mode, emotions are shut off because you got to get by at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. Those visions that you see on the back of your eyelids when you're closing your eyes at night and then how that comes out, especially when you repress emotions as someone who has survived abuse growing up, both from, you know, family members as well as in the hood itself, with the had gang violence in it, I can tell you, what happens is it comes out in unexpected ways. It jeopardizes relationships with family, with friends, with jobs, professional situations. You become triggered, you know, by certain things that you don't even think are there. You know, to this day, if an older male raises his voice at me, I will snap quicker than you can even think about it. I will not truck with that. So but you still got to be aware, you know, and mental health should be focused on. And I love the fact that, you know, cats like Vic Mensa are, you know, focusing on that with Maxo Cream and Tierra in that Clubhouse room. So definitely want to make sure that you guys taking care of yourself as well. So make sure to think about mental health and self-care. But what we got for our next headline?
We have a clip of Tupac from 1995. Mm-hmm. Goes viral because he's dancing to the Dog Pound's Let's Play House. It's funny, you know, how not that long ago we have artists coming out talking about they don't listen to Tupac, he's boring and all of that. But people, you know, people still see how cool and how gangster he was because it's clear that, you know, it was fun to see that video. You know, I had obviously, you know, he died unfortunately very, very young, too young. You know, one of the first big fatalities that we had in hip hop. And it's good that people are celebrating his memory in this way instead of talking about all of the negativity that normally surrounds the conversation of Tupac. The Let's Play House song is classic Dog Pound. You got Nate Dogg on there. You got Daz. You got Corrupt. They're just that song is so fabulous. It's got the G-Funk sound. And so, I mean, go check out Let's Play House if you never heard it before. It's definitely a nice Saturday cookout cut. So, it's great to see Tupac in the headlines again, you know, for being the megastar that he was. You know, he was always himself. And his dancing is not like this new school dancing. I'm going to tell you that. Like when I watched it, I was like, how is Tupac dancing? He's dancing like a G.
Yeah,
just like in the cut, team. just a little bob, not too much,
holding some cognac in that beat. But yeah, it's one of those things where Tupac's legacy continues to live on. And it's great to see younger generations start to catch on to the fact that he's not some old people music. This dude was a hit maker. He created a legacy of style, of technique, of topic matter that bled into so many different other later rappers and the whole NWA crew and all of that. And Eminem and so many other people were influenced by
Tupac's legacy. And whether you want to consider him that or not, he's definitely one of the godfathers of gangster rap. So definitely. It is what it is.
And the last headline we got involves one of your favorite rappers, Young Thug,
at an ATL. I do like some Thugger, man. I you know, he's grown on me over
but
the
I'm
years.
But I'm mad because I got some stuff stolen. So what happened is Young Thug actually left a bag in the car. Now, this may not have seemed like a big deal, but inside this bag, it was a Louis Vuitton bag, of course. So the bag itself is worth some chips. But inside the bag, he had a $57,000 diamond-encrusted watch.
Dripping.
A $37,000 diamond-encrusted chain.
Dripping.
Right? And, yeah, $40,000 of cash in that B, right? Just
that's
dollar
a whole
bills.
Lot of moolah.
Right? And then he had a flash or a hard drive with overestimated $1 million worth of material for unreleased
songs.
But
he had like 200 songs on that
joint? Something like
this
that.
This dude works, man.
Now, if it was someone else, like you were saying before, off camera, that was saying, oh, I have $1 million worth of songs on this hard drive.
I would question that. But Young Thug songs might actually be worth $1 million or more, of course, right?
I mean. And so, you know, one of the representatives of the property for the high-end luxury apartments that he was in, Ms. Bowie, actually left a note with the bag saying, hey, you know, make sure this gets to the rightful owner. Don't give it to anybody else but Young Thug. But then someone else came along.
LaToya
Guess gave it to a stranger, gave the bag to a stranger. So now Young Thug is suing the B. And I'm not surprised. Or suing the apartment complex. I'm not surprised because, I mean, think about this. That's a lot of money. Regardless of the song worth or estimated value of the song worth, we're talking about first the bag Louis Vuitton.
Yeah.
Right? And you've got diamond encrusted watches and necklaces at 100K value in addition to the 40K.
Well, it just shows you got to watch your back. I mean, this is, although it's a luxury apartment complex and you're expecting it to be upscale, the people that work there aren't upscale. And apparently this person was like, that bag was
on the phone.
It was a little bit too hard to ignore.
And, yeah.
But, you know, I don't think it's going to be worth it. This person's probably going to lose their job. And it's going to look bad on that company. So, you know,
who knows?
She's definitely not going to get in a picture with Young Thug. I don't think he's taking no selfie with that person no time soon.
Sorry, LaToya. You ultimately going to catch the loss for that
thievery. A big L.
You know.
A giant L.
Get on the phone. Hey, I got Young Thug's bag here. Roll up. Okay, well, how are you going to pay that back when now your house is leveraged as equity in the court case? Don't want to do that.
Yeah.
I don't, you know.
Don't be a thief.
Yeah. Don't be stealing that kind of stuff. So I hope you guys have enjoyed our episode of the headlines from The Jump. We're doing a new thematic segments. And next up, after we got this segment, we have our next segment.
So we're going to do album report card. I think we're going to talk about the album that just dropped from Don Toliver,
Life of a Don.
And that should be an awesome project to check out. And we'll have some details on that in the album report card.
So the album report card is coming up next week on Thursday near 4 p.m. Central Standard Time, where we're going to review Life of a Don by Don Toliver. Then after that, we're going to have our next segment the following Thursday, which is going to be Text to the Tango. We'll talk to someone in the hip hop world, whether it's media, writer, rapper, someone that is definitely in that world, about hip hop, pop culture news. And then we're going to have our final segment, which is going to be This Day, On This Day in Hip Hop. And we'll talk about what is historically has happened on that Thursday.
Because hip-hop's been around for a while, and we want to highlight the things that have happened, because if you don't know your history, you're going to repeat the same mistakes, and you can definitely learn from, you know, the pioneers. And there's some people that they don't get that mainstream attention, so maybe we can give some love to people who've been in the game.
Definitely. Well, we want to thank you guys for tuning in to another episode of From the Jump.
Peace.